Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone. Happy December and welcome to the Mom Hour. I'm here today for one of our Voices interviews. In these episodes, Sarah and I take turns bringing you conversations with interesting people from our community and beyond. And today I'm actually talking with one of our contributors, Kia Hammond. Kia is a mom of 3 young kids and is pregnant with her 4th baby, who's due just a few weeks before Christmas. So today, Kia and I will be talking about a topic that comes up a lot in our Facebook Mom Hour listening community, and that is, how do you prepare your home and children for a new baby? I have 5 kids, so I personally have a lot of experience with this, but it's been a number of years since I introduced a new baby to my household, so it felt like a great opportunity to bring in someone who's experiencing it right now. Similar to me, Kia was young when she had her first child, and now she has 3 kids at home who are 12, 4, and 1. We talk about what it's like to introduce a baby to siblings at a variety of ages and stages. Kia was also a mother baby nurse before transitioning to a stay-at-home mom, so she has a lot of experience supporting new moms and babies. And because it's December and the holiday season is in full swing, Kia and I have some fun talking about what it's like to have a new baby around the holidays. And I should mention that we actually recorded this quite in advance of December because of Kia's due date. So this is actually recorded in late October. So you get a little sneak peek of how Kia is preparing ahead of time. Let's take a break, and then I'll be back with Kia Hammond from our contributor team.
We are welcoming back PocPoc Playroom as a sponsor today. PocPoc is an iOS app for ages 2 to 6 that contains a whole collection of creative, open-ended digital play opportunities for your kids. It's not a game like with levels to beat or coins to collect. It's a calm, sensory-friendly collection of activities that inspire creativity and imagination.
PocPoc Playroom is a subscription-based app, and we're going to get you an entire year of creative digital play for just $15. That's half off the normal annual subscription. When you have the app on one iOS device, family sharing will allow you to download it free on your other devices too. And because you're subscribed, the app will automatically update with new digital toys every few months.
Yeah, that annual subscription deal is so great. I'm thinking of how much more than $15 I've spent in the interest of something that'll spark creative play in my kids, you know, for an entire year. I also love that PocPoc Playroom, it doesn't require Wi-Fi or data, except when you first download, of course. So it'll work on planes, trains, automobiles, you get the idea.
Go to playpocpoc.com/redeem and use the code MOMHOUR for 50% off an annual subscription. That's code MOMHOUR at playpocpok.com/redeem for 50% off. Check it out.
Megan, one of my favorite ways to enjoy our sponsor, Bev, is in a fancy glass with, wait for it, a couple of ice cubes. I realize this makes me like 100 years old, but the fizzy, dry, sparkling rosé almost feels like a festive cocktail when I have it like that.
Okay, so what's funny about this is that you know I have many opinions about the temperature of my beverages. But with Bev wines, I've enjoyed some of them very chilled and others like the Noir at room temperature or just a little cool. So no judgment here, Sarah.
Good. Well, listeners, you know how much we love our Bev wines. They come in cute 4-packs in a bunch of different varietals, and each can contains about 1.5 glasses of wine. They're all crisp, dry, and just a little bubbly with 0 sugar and only 3 carbs and 100 calories per serving.
And we've got a great deal for all of you listening. You're going to get 20% off your first purchase. Plus, Bev offers free shipping on all orders. We think the best-selling Ladies' Night Variety Pack is the way to go for your first order because that way you can find the varietal you like best. Go to drinkbev.com/momhour or use code MOMHOUR at checkout to get that 20% off deal. That's drinkbev.com/momhour. Hi, Kia. Thank you so much for being on the Mom Hour.
Hi, Megan. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I know that our listeners are just going to love hearing from you. Before we dive in to the whole conversation, just tell us about you, where you live, who lives in your household, your kids and their ages.
Sure. So my name is Kia. I live in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania with my husband and our 3 kids. So my oldest daughter is 12 and a half. My second daughter is 4. And then we have a 19-month-old son.
And you're due in December with your 4th baby.
I am.
Yeah. So you're going to have a pretty closely spaced you know, number 3 and 4.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm curious, did you always want a bigger family? Did you think you would have a bigger family?
Oh, I knew I always wanted a bigger family. I'm actually the oldest of 6 kids. Mm. My husband is an only child, so we compromised at 4. I really wanted like 5. After I had my 3rd, we compromised at 4. So yes, I'm really excited. The 3rd and 4th would be 21 months apart. And wow. I've always wanted to do 2 under 2.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's fun. I've done that actually twice. And it is kind of like having a baby and then like a slightly bigger baby, but it's really fun. Yeah. And they do grow up very close. Like it's fun to watch them start to play together. I have to laugh that you said you compromised at 4 because baby number 4 compromises have a way of turning into baby number 5 compromises.
You know, I hear that about once a week.
Not trying to like, you know, put that on you, but I'm just saying, I just, whenever I hear like, oh, you know, we were decided to stop at 4, I always think so. That's what I thought. So you've done this a few times. I am curious, has this pregnancy been different for you than the others? I know they're always a little bit different, but tell me how this one's been unique.
Yeah, this one is different in that my belly is actually not as big as it was previous pregnancies. Like I feel really pregnant right now. I'm 34 weeks, but at the same time, sometimes I'm like, I don't feel that pregnant. My sisters will sometimes tell me, you know, you don't really look that pregnant. You just look a little fat in the midsection.
Right.
My face hasn't really blown up. You know, sometimes you get the weight all over. And that definitely happened with all of my pregnancies, except this one. So I'm feeling a lot better physically in this pregnancy. So yeah, that's a good surprise, actually.
That is a good surprise. And usually it doesn't go in that direction than more babies you have. So I'm really happy for you. Yes. I'm laughing because I'm just thinking back to, you know, having my 5, how people always had opinions about like the way I was carrying and what that meant. Like it means the baby's going to be a boy or a girl or, you know, whatever. Mm. This is how the labor is going to go. Have you seen with your other babies, like any correlation between the way you carried them and like literally anything else? Or do you think it's just random?
So I hear it every single day. We actually don't know the gender of this baby. It's going to be a surprise, but my entire family has gone so far as to, they just call the baby him now because everybody assumes that it's going to be a boy because they say that I carry a lot, carry the same like my son, where I am more belly. And like I said, with my girls, I got like the full round face and such.
Yeah.
So it's a little aggravating the further I get that everyone is just assuming that it's a boy because I'm like, are you guys going to be disappointed if it's a girl?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been getting that every day, basically.
Well, it's funny because not only I'm sure are you getting that, but like everyone's got an opinion that has something to do with your like, when are you going to have the babies? Going to be early or late? You know what I mean? Like everyone turns into psychics when you're pregnant.
Yes. And it, you know what I noticed is that not knowing the gender gives people, they think they have the freedom to say even more comments about your body.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, well, you're definitely having a boy because your butt's not as big as it was when you had a girl. Things like that.
Thanks for noticing.
I know. So that is something. And everyone wants to comment on, you know, what the baby's weight is going to be. I usually have close to 9-pound babies. So everybody wants to guess the baby's weight. And so everybody, has a lot of opinions.
I think that is the case no matter like which pregnancy, number of pregnancy you're on, how big your family is. But it feels like when you've got a big family, by the time you get around to baby number 4 or 5, you're like, okay, I've heard it all. Like none of you are that clever. You
know, I've heard it all. And I'm like, well, we've got a 50-50 chance here. So you could be right or you could not.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's talk about preparing your family for the new baby, because I know that can be something kind of tricky to do when you've got multiple kids and you've got kids at really different ages and stages. For example, you have a teenager. So how did you tell her about, you know, this upcoming baby number 4? How did she react?
So it's funny because me and my husband were really nervous to tell my oldest that we were expecting again. She just had really strong opinions that she did not want another sibling when we talked about having another one. So we were really, really nervous. And she ended up being so happy and excited, just as excited as she was for the other younger two. So we told her with an ultrasound picture like we did all the other ones. And so she was really excited, but they will be almost 13 years apart.
Yeah.
So that's a big difference. And I realize that, although I know that they can still have, you know, just as lovely as a relationship as, you know, the baby and this new baby.
Right. Yeah. I think there's actually something really special about the relationship between a teenage or much older sibling. It's like they get to kind of just interact with them differently. And there's not mm-hmm. that sort of tussle for attention quite the same way. So yeah. I think that's really fun. I'm curious, was she, when you said she used to not want you to have another at all, was that when she was maybe younger and like really, and maybe also looking at like how kind of chaotic it can be to have younger siblings and being like, oh man, like enough.
So I think it was, it's the chaos. Mind you, all last year she stayed home with me and the two little ones because of COVID. She didn't go to in-person school. So she was just with them every day, all day. And then I think us mentioning, you know, wanting to try for another baby, she's like, oh, I cannot do it.
Right.
She couldn't handle another little human running around. but she's gotten used to the idea now.
Good. Well, I'm glad. And I'm hoping that they'll have, you know, at some point a strong relationship. And I'm sure she's going to be really helpful. I hate to put that on her. But yeah, that is kind of like that kind of ends up being the teenager's role. Right.
And the nice thing is my baby sister is actually 10 years younger than me. And we are still very close. I'm 28. She's 17. And so she sees that. And I think that gives her a lot of hope of what their relationship could look like, you know, as life goes on. So that's nice.
Yeah, I'm the youngest of four. And my oldest sister is 10 years older than me with two boys in the middle. And it's great. We're really close. We weren't, mm-hmm. you know, there was times when she was just kind of off doing her thing. And I wasn't really like, you know, part of her life so much. But then as soon as kind of I got to be into my later teens, we started hanging out a lot. And then once we both had kids, it was like, you know, we're inseparable. So I really think that can happen. And just like with any age spacing, there's going to be ebbs and flows. Like there's going to be times Absolutely. When they're close and times when they can't stand each other. And that's just kind of how it goes, right?
Absolutely.
Well, what about your four-year-old daughter? Is there anything you've specifically done to prepare her for the new baby? I know that, you know, when last time you had a new baby, she was really little, and that's a big difference now. So how has that felt this time?
Yeah, so she was 2.5 when my son was born. And the really sucky thing with COVID is she can't come to doctor appointments anymore. And she went to all doctor appointments with him. So that really prepared her, I think, you know, listening to the baby every week and such. But I will say she is the most excited child. I mean, she wants to feel my belly and baby kick every day. She gives baby kisses. She likes to guess if it's a boy or a girl. She knows both names. We practice still a lot of baby doll, you know, play, just being gentle. And because she's at preschool and germs, we really focus on making sure that she's kissing baby's feet. We don't want, like, you know, everybody kissing all over the baby's face when they bring a germ from their different schools. And a lot of books we have that prepare her for baby, and she loves to read them every single day. And one thing I did really special with her and my son, she picked out the baby's lovey. All my kids have had loveys. And so that was really special. So I plan on taking the youngest two again to pick out a lovey for this baby.
That's a lot. I mean, there's just a lot of like moving parts and things to think about. And the COVID thing, man, that really complicates everything. I'm curious, has that been, has that impacted, besides, you know, not being able to bring her to your appointments and things like that, is that going to impact your maternity care or anything like that?
It is, just because we have such a big family. So we have people from so many different households that usually come and visit and help. And this is now my second COVID baby. You know, where I'm postpartum with COVID. And we're not feeling comfortable with having a bunch of different households in and out at the same time. So it'd be more like a one-on-one kind of thing. My husband does not get a great paternity leave this time. So we are going to be relying on, you know, some family help to take kids to and from practices and preschool and such. But I anticipated it being lonely, but hopefully not as lonely as when we first went into, you know, like quarantine with the pandemic.
Right. And will your hospital experience be different this time around than it has been in the past?
So it actually will not be, because with our third baby, we decided we didn't want any visitors in the hospital. It was really overwhelming. The first two babies, having everyone in when you're freshly bleeding and leaking.
And
a lot of pain and trying to, you know, bond with the baby. So with our third baby, we loved having it just us in the hospital. It was really, really good for us, you know, me and my husband to bond with the baby. And so we will not be having any visitors per hospital rules, but that's okay with us.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that worked out. And actually, it could kind of be like a, you know, if you didn't decide that for yourself, but you were a mom who could kind of use that as an excuse, I bet there's a lot of pregnant moms right now like, sorry.
Yep.
I'm just so bummed out that you can't come visit in the hospital. Maybe next time.
Yes.
Well, what about your youngest? You know, not even two is very little. And it's not always easy to prepare someone under two for the arrival of a new sibling. So I'm curious how that's gone.
So yeah, he has absolutely no idea. He'll be 21 months old when the baby born, like I said. So we've just been doing, he likes to play with my belly, but he's a little bit rough. So I've been really focusing on being gentle with dolls with him and kissing the baby's feet and how we rock them really slowly. And I'm a big baby wearer when I have newborns. So I actually got them a ring sling to carry their little dolls and stuffed animals in.
That's like the cutest.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is when I'm wearing the baby, when I'm doing whatever, he can wear his little doll or animal as well. And that will help with them, you know, him being really needy as well, seeing me hold a baby. and then a nursing basket. When I was a postpartum nurse, I always recommended if you have a young toddler to have like a nursing basket for fun things for him to do just when you're nursing. So I have that ready for him. And we read a lot of books with him as well. I'm really interested to see how it goes once baby is here.
Right. Yes, he'll be like, wait, this isn't like carrying a stuffed animal in a sling. Yeah. This is like something completely different. Well, you know, we talked about preparing each of your kids individually, but I'm curious, like for your family as a whole, and that includes you as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have a piece of advice or a tip for a family with kids of varying ages to kind of get the family unit ready for a new baby?
So family unit wise, we've been actually changing our house a lot to make our home more comfortable for a baby. And there's going to be a bassinet in our living room. We just rearranged all of our furniture to have more open space in our living room. I have a new nursing chair that's there, like in the center of the living room. So the kids know that mom's going to be there a lot, but they have all this open new space to play now right in front of me when I'll be there with baby. And then our kitchen is changing a little bit as well, because now I have like a nursing cabinet that I'm going to have with like all the bottles and the pump stuff. And one big thing, I had a good conversation with my oldest, is I had postpartum depression with both of my last two babies, and they were very much breastfeeding related. So talking to her about, you know, the emotional changes that I'll be going through, because I know she's old enough to see them. And so she saw me crying a lot and such with, you know, my last two babies. And now she's a lot older, and just explain to her, you know, that it's normal sometimes, and that I'll be okay. And, you know, as a family unit, we'll all work through it. And sometimes that's just what happens when you're postpartum. Also, the good thing everybody loves is all the snacks that I'm preparing to have one hand.
Yes, I love it. That's a perk, right?
Yes. So, yeah, stocking the fridge and the pantry and having way more snacks than usual. Everybody's getting used to that.
Well, I like how you know, are putting this focus on really preparing your home, because everyone lives in the home. And sometimes it's surprising how little changes can make such a big difference. Just having the right things on hand when you need them, when you have a new baby, or like having the configuration of like the furniture being right. These things that like maybe you can get kind of used to the way they are, but then you bring a new baby in the mix and you're like, oh man.
Yes. And I didn't want to make those huge changes right when the baby got there. So it would be so much change at once. So we keep things like the diaper cart and the diaper caddy where the toddlers can hand me a diaper if I need one so they can feel like they're helping. So that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really smart. And I also love that you're talking with your kids about emotional changes. I think that's really important, because we're all going through them when there's a new baby in the house, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes like, I feel like kids often look to mom, sometimes even, you know, your spouse looks to mom to almost like set the emotional, you know, tone for the household. And so when your emotions are all thrown off, it can throw everybody off. So I think it's really smart that you talk like proactively about that.
Absolutely. I think it's really important for me to normalize it. Like, you know, mom just had a baby and these things, this is going to happen one day if you have a baby too, and that's okay. And having the support and still my people that, you know, I love the most around me is, you know, that's still what I need. I don't need you guys to run in the other room because mom's a little bit emotional today.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Well, Kia, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk more about preparing for a new baby. But I wanted us to talk about preparing you for the new baby. And we're also going to touch on the holidays because, man, your due date is coming right up on them, right?
Yes.
And so we'll talk a little bit about the holidays and some of that kind of stuff. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
Megan, our sponsor Bite Toothpaste is a game changer for travel. And since we're approaching the holidays, I want everybody to listen to how this works. No toothpaste tubes, no toothpaste tubes getting thrown out by security because they're too big, no toothpaste tubes leaking all over the rest of your toiletries, just a handy travel tin of chewable bits that turn into toothpaste when you brush.
Well, this kind of blew my mind, Sarah. It turns out that over 1 billion plastic toothpaste tubes are thrown out every year that end up in landfills and oceans. But Bite has sustainability and clean ingredients at the center of everything they do. Their toothpaste bits are certified carbon neutral, cruelty-free, vegan, and palm oil-free. And all packaging and shipping materials are refillable, recyclable, or home compostable.
If you're ready for travel-proof, mess-free toothbrushing that's also better for the planet, we think you're going to love Bite. And right now, Bite is offering our listeners 20% off your first subscription order. Go to trybite.com/momhour or use code momhour at checkout to claim this deal. That's trybite.com/momhour. So Megan, our sponsor Scooter Badge is back today. And if you're not familiar, this is an easy way to jazz up or personalize your kid's kick scooter. Violet hadn't scootered in a while, but when I surprised her with a custom badge featuring a photo of our dog's face on it, she could not wait to get back out there in the neighborhood.
Oh, I love that. Scooter badges fit all kick style scooters and can be attached in just seconds with no tools required. And that is my kind of gift. There are more than 100 cute and colorful designs to choose from. And if your kid is into Nickelodeon characters, you can find badges for Paw Patrol, Blue's Clues, and more.
Scooter badges are made in New York City from sturdy and weather-resistant materials, which I think is great because you know how kids are. They aren't exactly gentle when it comes to riding or parking their scooters. And you know how when they're scooting with their friends, all the scooters end up in like a big pile in someone's driveway? Well, this is such an easy way to tell which scooter is which.
Scooter badges are less than $10 a piece, and you can shop for them on Amazon, Walmart.com, or directly from Scooter Badge at ScooterBadge.com. And today we have a special discount just for our listeners. Go to ScooterBadge.com and enter the code MOMHOUR for 20% off and free shipping on orders over $15. That's ScooterBadge.com, code MOMHOUR for 20% off. Okay, Kia, so we spent some time talking about getting your kids and your home ready for a new baby, but I also want to spend some time talking about you. So how do you, as the mom to your fourth baby, get ready?
So this is actually the main thing I've been preparing for this entire pregnancy. I think the more babies you have, the more you realize how much you need to prepare.
Right.
So the baby could just follow along with what I do. But
right.
Yeah. So most importantly, I would say, and I didn't learn this until my third baby, was having a postpartum wardrobe and having it like easily accessible. There's nothing worse, and I've done it with my other two babies, than like coming home and you're like, I can't find anything to wear. And
it's so demoralizing, isn't it? Oh my gosh. Yes.
So I actually converted my entire dresser to everything that I can wear third trimester and postpartum. And I've stocked up on comfy clothes to wear this entire pregnancy. So yeah, I'm really excited about that. It's my second time doing this, like I said, and it was a huge help having that postpartum dresser.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like I wish I had done something like that. It sounds like just like, it's just so nice to feel like you're not just in the same sloppy sweats that you've been wearing that are all spit up on because nothing else fits or you can't find it. I just think that's really smart.
Yeah. Also, we keep our babies in our room with us for like, It ranges. So I'll say anywhere from like 6 to 12 months. Until they're that old. So yeah, we have a pretty decent sized master bedroom. And so we have a spot for this baby. It's where the other two babies went. So that's getting put together. I also really love the app Hatch Baby. So I know some people are like, you don't need the time feedings, just, you know, feed on demand and stuff. But because I've experienced so many nursing problems and like baby weight problems and such, it really is like mind easing for me to see when baby last fed and for how long. So I always recommend that app. You can track like their weights and their dirty and wet diapers and such like that. So I always use that app.
I could totally see how something like that would be, you know, for some moms, maybe that would make you obsess about something you don't need to obsess about and would stress you out. But like, I could totally also see how it could give you peace of mind. Like it would help you, I don't know, see what's happening and just feel a little more, not in control, because you don't really ever have control, right? But like, at least like, you know what's happening.
Yeah, it was a big help because even my husband would have it on his phone and I'd say, go ahead, start the timer. I put it on the left side. So yeah, I think it's a personality thing. I think that if you become too obsessive with it, then maybe stop using it or don't get it. But it's always been really helpful for me. And then my third thing that I always do is have like a nursing caddy that I carry around upstairs and downstairs. So it's like a big felt basket kind of. And I have everything from snacks to ibuprofen to like my pump and nipple ointments and a change of nursing bra and those things that I carry up and down the steps and have at my bedside at night for the baby. So I've already got that packed as well.
Wow. Okay. So Kia, I mean, it's obvious that you're a planner. Yes. Have you learned with each, you know, subsequent baby, like when to start this planning, like what routine to get yourself into, or is it, did you kind of have it figured out from baby number one?
Definitely did not have it figured out for baby number one. So I think honestly, it wasn't until preparing for my third baby that I got so kind of organized. And I have a lot of that to contribute to me being a postpartum nurse and knowing more of what to do. So yeah, I've definitely learned as I've kept having babies. And honestly, every baby I add a little something different. So this baby, instead of turning on the bedside lamp, Amazon has this cute little like, it's like a round light. And it's very dim, but it's the perfect amount of lighting for your bedside to see to nurse your baby without waking the baby up too much with bright light. So I added that to my little nursing caddy that I'll have. So every baby, I kind of find something new.
Right. Like something you didn't know you needed. And then you're sitting there trying to nurse the baby in the middle of the night and not turn the lights on. You're like, oh, you know what would really be great right now?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, you're going to be bringing your baby home in the holiday season, which is busy to begin with, and now will be like even more busy. So you've mentioned that it sounds like you kind of like to hole up with just your family. You like to kind of keep it a little more laid back. How are you going to sort of, I don't know, navigate that coming into the holiday season?
So it's something we've been talking about a lot because we have such a big family and we always actually host the big Christmas Eve like party every year. So it was kind of, everybody was a little disappointed that we're not doing that this year, but everyone of course understands. So we're just going to keep it very small. Everybody can come in by Christmas. The baby will be like almost a month or like 3 weeks old.
Right.
So people can come one by one. As far as gifts for the kids, I'm usually a pretty late shopper, but we decided actually on November 1st, we're going to start getting our Christmas shopping. Checked off. So we're going to start that early. And then a big thing me and my husband love to do is every year after everyone leaves after the Christmas Eve party, we get all the gifts out on the floor, you know, have some wine and have like the best time ever wrapping gifts until like 4 a.m. Obviously, that's not going to happen this year. So I'm not exactly sure when we're wrapping yet. Maybe we'll have, you know, the little babe with us while we wrap a little bit earlier. But
yeah. And so much of it depends on the baby's personality, right? Because you might have a baby who sleeps like 3 hours at a stretch. And wow, that gives you so much time to wrap and decorate and all that. Or you might have a baby that needs to be held constantly. And so you just don't know. You just don't know. Yeah. Well, Is there anything else you're doing to prepare your household? Just knowing that, like, you know, for the kids, even things are going to be a little bit different this year. What do they think about all this, and how are you preparing?
So I think just reminding them, this is mainly for the 4-year-old and the 12-year-old, that the baby is going to be on me a lot. My 4-year-old actually calls breastfeeding eat boob. So we still call it that. So I'm like, baby is going to be eating boob a lot, guys. So that's why we set the living room up the way we did, so that I can still be centered. Now, last time we did not do that. So I was either in my bed a lot with the baby or on the couch. So I think that this change for the living room is going to be really good for the family in general. Also reminding them that, you know, nanny is going to be picking you up from preschool these days, you know, a lot coming up when the baby's here. And my oldest is in cheerleading year round. So it was really hard to tell her, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it with a new baby, or even so postpartum, you know, so right. Newly postpartum, nursing this baby all the time to your competitions. And just letting them know all these changes early in advance, so it's not such a surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, I mean, I have had now, I didn't ever have one really close to the holiday, but I did have my 4th on December 6th, which is very close to your, yes. You know, your due date. And I actually just really loved having like a baby in the house at Christmas. It was very special. I barely remember the details of that Christmas. Like, I can't really remember what I gave the other kids. I can't really remember. I don't really remember if anyone, I think we still had family come over like over the holiday season, but it's very blurry, but I also just remember it feeling really special. So I'm excited for you about that.
I've always wanted a Christmas baby. So this is seriously like such like a dream come true for my last baby.
I love it. And then, you know, they're also the little onesies, like the holiday themed onesies and stuff like that is so cute.
So I have them already picked out.
Oh, good. I love it. Yes. What is the trend right now? Is it like, what are babies wearing at Christmas these days?
Lots of plaids. They're all different color of plaids and, you know, different stripes and such. And then the fun thing is the gender neutral part of it, so they can match. The baby's going to match with all the kids.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh, my bigger kids have always done matching jammies, and I wish I would have started that when they were really little and I could match the baby to them. I didn't start getting them the footy jammies until they were all a little bit older. And I think my youngest was like 4 by then. So
yeah, it's really fun to do every year. The kids all look forward to it. And then the fun thing is I can pass down the pajamas to the rest of the kids.
Right.
down the line. Yeah.
Do you typically do like a holiday Christmas card or Christmas photo or anything like that you're having to kind of rethink this year?
Yes, actually, we are doing our family pictures next week, November 2nd. And I'm like, oh, but the baby's not going to be it. And that's supposed to be a Christmas card. The baby's going to be here by Christmas. So now I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You could always like take a photo of the baby after he or she is born and then like superimpose it into your arms. Yeah. Like over the bump.
Or put it in the tape that picture to the back of the Christmas card. Like, by the way, this little one's here, too.
By the way, this happened. I mean, no one's going to expect you to fit in a photo session with a newborn, during, you know, 3 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But that would be fun to do and include the baby, too. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about gifts for new moms and new babies around the holidays. So you're going to be there as a brand new mama at Christmas. And I'm wondering if you have anything that in the past, whether it's Christmas or not, has been your favorite gift to receive as a new mom or favorite gifts to give as a new mom or to new moms. And then anything special you're hoping for this year?
Yeah. So I'll start with what I'm hoping for this year. So you know, when you're up nursing a baby all night, your phone usually is your main source of entertainment. Mm-hmm. So trying to cut back on screen time, what I started doing with my last baby was listening to audiobooks and, of course, podcasts while I was up during the night. So I asked for a bunch of Audible credits.
Nice.
And which is also why I think giving a gift to a new mom like AirPods is really nice, because then baby doesn't have to hear the loud noise of, you know, your podcast or audiobook, but you can still listen with one AirPod.
Yes.
Also, my Kindle is a great gift that I got last year. that I really loved with having a nursing baby all night. And then I just feel like you can't go wrong with gift cards to coffee places and the mom's favorite clothing store because, you know, your body's changing so much. So mom might want a few new comfy pieces.
Yeah. I love the suggestion of audiobook credits because you're right. I mean, when you're up in the middle of the night looking at your phone and there weren't even really smartphones last time I was up nursing in the middle of the night. But, you know, I remember anything that was bright that I looked at would wake me up, you know. So listening to something like maybe kind of a quieter book or something like that can maybe kind of keep you in that lull, that like slightly sleepy mode so that after baby's done, you can put baby back down and then you can go back to sleep. And I think that the Kindle, like on its lowest brightness setting, can also be great for that. Like I'll read if I wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall back to sleep. And I'll just basically read till I pass out, but like on the darkest setting. So I'm kind of having to like squint my eyes a little bit. And then it doesn't wake up anybody else in the room, including your baby.
Yes.
Those are great suggestions. What about a brand new baby? I mean, it's really hard to give gifts to a newborn, but yet like, you know, everyone's going to ask you what the baby wants or what you want for the baby. And it's also nice to have that opportunity to maybe get some things that you didn't think to buy before the baby came. So what's on your list?
So one thing I always get a new mom during Christmas if they are for the baby, if they don't already have one, is a baby carrier, because I think that sometimes you don't think that you'll need one so much, but then when you get it, you're like, oh, this is life changing. So I love gifting that. And then some things that I'll put on my baby's list, because like you said, people are going to insist, is, the Love Every Kids. High contrast cards for baby when, you know, they're a little bit older. Personalized blankets. I feel like you could never go wrong with those because you just keep them forever.
Yes. So
blankets,
so true.
You know, the little cute blankets from, I think it's Pottery Barn with their names on it, is always like such a treasure to have.
Yeah.
And then fun things that baby will use when they're older, like the feeding teethers that you like stick strawberries and blueberries in, stuff that they could use when they're a little bit older.
Right. But maybe you didn't think to buy. Because there's like that category of stuff that's like for the baby when they're a little older, but you don't think about it when you're maybe registering for your baby shower. So those are really fun. And Love Every, of course, is someone we've worked with as a sponsor. We think they're a great company. They just have really beautifully curated toys and activities for little babies on up. So that's a really great gift. Let's talk about baby carriers really quick, because I think you're right. Not everyone will have one. You might think it's really obvious, but not everyone gets one. And sometimes I think that's because there's like so many options out there that if you're not super into slings and carriers, it can be a little overwhelming. And I always found it helpful to have a variety of them. So, you know, you might like a ring sling for just popping the baby in for a quick tool around the kitchen or something. But then if you're going to be really wearing them for a long time, you might want something like a Moby wrap. So curious what your favorite slings are or carriers and the ones that you most often give as gifts.
Yeah. So you are exactly right with having different ones. So I kind of have a problem with collecting baby carriers. I have a lot. So I really love the ring sling for newborns.
Okay.
I like that more than the Solly baby wraps because solid baby wraps can get really frustrating. And I think those wraps with all the wrapping can really turn off new moms. So I'm all for saying get the ring sling if you are opposed to all the wrapping or nervous about all the wrapping.
I remember definitely like when I first got the wrap and loved it. Like I loved how comfy it was, but the baby fell asleep. And then I got back and I'm like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
How do I get this baby out of this thing? I have this funny memory of me like laying over my baby, trying to untangle myself from the wrap without waking the baby up. And it was like, I was all sweaty by that point. And so it was great for certain things, but it wasn't the easiest entry point.
Yeah. And a lot of times you need help with those wraps.
Right.
So if you're home by yourself, you don't need help with the ring sling.
Right.
I also really love, I think they're called Kite Baby, is kind of like a Moby wrap, but it's already done for you. So it's like a shirt that you put on and then there's another piece of fabric you tie around the baby. So it's like the same thing without all the hassle and you only need yourself to do it.
Wow.
Ergo Baby is also one of my other favorite ones because you can wear them front or back and it's really supportive. So sometimes you know how your back can hurt if you're wearing baby for a long time. It has really good lumbar support. So yeah, those are my top three ones that I love.
I had an Ergo too and loved it, especially for like, you know, longer like getting out of the house with it. I thought that was perfect. And I switched back and forth a lot between a pouch sling and a ring sling. And I'm trying to remember, like, I know there's probably been so many more brands that have come out, but there was kind of an explosion of possibilities of baby wraps and slings when, like, between my like fourth and fifth pregnancies. So like kind of a long time ago now, and the big brands then were like Maya wrap. And I think I had a Maya pouch, and I'm trying to remember what the name of the like really popular ring sling was at the time. What's the one everyone thinks of now?
You know, I have it right here.
There was actually a really funny one called Over the Shoulder Baby Holder, which always made me laugh, but it had like tons of padding, so I never bought one.
Oh, Wild Bird is the one that I have.
Oh,
they have really nice patterns, and they have some with like extra thick fabric so that like you can carry a bigger baby for longer periods of time. So yeah, the ring slings are the ones that I always love to gift as well.
Wow. Well, we should have you do a whole tutorial for our website on slings, because I bet moms would love it. Oh my gosh. What a fun thing to think about. I just love like that cozy feeling of shopping for those. So
yes.
I love it. Well, Kia, this has been so fun. I have loved talking with you about getting ready for a new baby, especially when you're, you know, I don't know, creating this, like, you're really going from bigger to big now. Like, I think four is like, is that cut off, right? How does that feel to you now to be kind of like going into the, you know, into the ranks of like the truly big family?
Yeah, because all of our friends thought we're crazy for having three, and now we're having four, and they're like, well, you guys are just over the top now. So, but you know what? You know, growing up with such a big family, I'm like, we got this.
Right.
I'm so excited, and I just tell my husband all the time, imagine what our holidays are going to look like when our kids are older, and you know, they each have a spouse, so we have like eight kids in the house, you know.
Right.
So I honestly love the chaos. Having one kid for a long time was so different for me because it was so quiet. So I like need the chaos, and I just love it and embrace it.
Yeah, and I think some of us really thrive in it. And honestly, another thing I always try to remind people when they would like kind of freak out about how many kids I had is like, you know, four kids isn't four times the work of one kid. You're not having like four babies all at once. You're having like, they're spread out. You've got routines down. There are different stages, and it's not, it adds to the chaos and it adds to the work, but not like exponentially, you know?
Absolutely. And I totally agree with you, especially with my kids being all different ages and stages. You know, it's a lot different having a newborn than it is having, you know, a tween. So their needs are different, which makes my experience as of momming them a lot different. I'm not changing four kids diapers, you know?
Right. Yeah. And I think for me, like really the three was like when I kind of threw my hands up and realized like, oh man, I can't, I'm outnumbered. I can't like control everything. And then four was when I really got my groove. So I think number four is great. And I bet you're going to just like really, like you're probably already almost there, but like you're really going to hit your stride with this one.
I think so.
Well, thank you so much, Kia. This has been great. Can't wait to hear about your baby when he or she is born. And then we get to find out the name, which I'm sure you're not telling anyone because they always have opinions about that too as well, right?
We do share the names, but they have their opinions, of course.
They have their opinions. Well, we can't wait to find out, and just enjoy your holiday season with that new little baby and your newly expanded family.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Mom Hour. Like always, you can find everything we talked about in the show notes for today's episode. And we will be back on Sunday with a More Than Mom episode where Sarah and I are going to share some of the best gifts we've ever gotten, as well as some great mom gifts from our contributor team. So talk to you then.